That the
spirit. Oh, I just hung up the phone on Peter Lanham.
We've been pretty good. I feel like that's the first time we've done that in a violently long time. What I will do while John is typing with his thumb, which is a shout out, by the way, to how big John's hand is and really how his thumb rolls. Shall I tell everybody about this Dream Hands $50 voucher that we have up for grabs? In celebration of First Thursdays happening July 5th and our live broadcast of the Drive Show from the Hemp Store on K Road, we're giving away prizes from K Road businesses. This one's a $50 Dream Hands tattoo voucher, I guess. It says it's $50 from Dream Hands Tattoo, which makes it sound like they're just giving us $50. But I think what they're wanting you to do is go in and get like, put it towards a tat. How much is a general tattoo these days? Probably like three spot for like, if you're rolling, if I wanted something decent, I mean.
Sorry, Peter, I pressed the wrong button on the desk.
Otis,
let's try this time.
Let the spirit. I don't know if you heard, but I just acapella that. So.
Hi, Peter. Sorry, I hung up on you by mistake.
That's all right. It happens.
But yes. The good news is you're on the phone, and we're delving into, once again, into the world of Anglicans.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to bore you with Anglicans, but what I was waiting for last week finally did happen, that the secession was announced I'm not quite sure. I heard about it on Saturday, but it was sometime during the week, probably Friday, that it was formally announced. So this is in Christchurch, and this is five Anglican parishes have announced they do not wish to be linked in with New Zealand Anglicanism anymore because it's defiled by its attitude towards gay people. Where it's,
what does that involve? Do they just sort of ask to be not part of the emailing list, or is it a bit more?
This is an interesting question because what they're doing is the clergy are withdrawing their vow of obedience to the General Synod. So it means that they're going AWOL, if you like, or going independent. Mm-hmm. But since most of those churches don't have any church property, and they've all held meetings with their parishes, and the parishes don't want to be part of New Zealand Anglicanism either.
Okay.
So effectively, they are seceding with a promise that the Ugandan bishop will look after them.
The what bishop?
How much?
Who's the bishop that's taking care of them? What?
What are the sort of assets of this Ugandan bishop?
So what happens is that there's this global organization of conservative Anglicans.
Okay.
And the Ugandans are playing a key role in breaking the bonds of fellowship, as they're called, and providing, ordaining people from wherever. So the Anglican bishops of Uganda are ordaining bishops that will arrive here in New Zealand, presumably, and take care of renegade Anglican churches.
So, okay, where are they getting these bishops from? They just
they'll probably be the existing Anglican ministers who've seceded, I would suspect.
Okay, yeah.
But just had to make a little trip to Uganda to get the magic touch from Ugandan hands.
Sweet.
Which is an interesting angle. Yeah. But that means that they're reporting lines.
Okay, just how come Uganda is the spot?
It's an interesting thing that Africans increasingly dominate world Christianity.
Okay.
But of course the West dominates the power structures of global Christianity.
So the West kind of sources all their spiritual sort of, like the big uppers from sort of that part of the world, like the
the West still has the money, but Western churches are very thinly attended, whereas African churches are bulging at the seams.
Right.
And so the Africans are really riding a very big high. This is true in both the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church at the moment. That they're saying, why shouldn't our weight count for something?
Mm.
And we're tired of being pushed around by these soft liberal Westerners. And, you know, African Christianity is really quite strongly shaped by its battle with Islam.
Right.
And so I think they've got a fighting spirit, and their current enemies are the soft Western churches.
Mm.
So in Christchurch, 5 churches have allied with them, including the 2 very large churches of Stevens and Shirley and St. John's and Latimer Square. And since neither of those have a church building anymore, the official statement said that probably that there will, services will cease to be held at those places.
Okay.
And there's 3 other places where there are buildings, and I'm not quite sure what will happen there.
It's like they just sort of rent out a rec centre every other...
Yeah, that's right. So they're renting a school hall or whatever, and they'll just keep doing that, and the ordinary person may not notice the difference, actually. But
might actually sort of a little bit of funding going back into the community a little bit.
Yeah, but you see, what's significant is the Anglican diocese, that's the organisation with the bishop, takes a levy of, and it's a levy per head, and these are the 5 largest, among the 10 largest parishes in the diocese. And so it's going to take, as I estimated last time, about 15% to 20% of Christchurch Anglicans are going to leave and stop paying their money, which is going to severely cut Anglican operations, I would think.
Yeah.
If they've been paying their share on the way.
Obviously it's weakening the main church, but these smaller renegade Anglicans... They won't necessarily have that much power either, because they are this smaller fractured groups. A general weakening of the Anglican church on the whole?
What about the Auckland chapters of the Anglican
good question. There are certainly 2 parishes that I would have thought there'll be very strong interest in going the same way, and there'll probably be at least some will go that direction. I think that's quite possible. And the answer to your question, Johnny, is this, that actually I think the future probably of churches doesn't lie with these big central organisations anymore. I think if you look at the successful churches, they are large independent congregations that meet in halls and cut their overheads and just focus on the local.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the shape of future Christianity. I think churches just can't afford the overheads of all the little organisations that they run.
Maybe next week we should talk about the churches going online.
Yes, well, I wonder if that will be the answer, because I bet most of the ideas, that's how you link with Uganda, is that most of the ideas have come through those sorts of online services.
Let's get meta.
Aside from the big issues of like, going soft on some of the traditional things like sexuality and that sort of thing. Yeah. What, are there any other like small churches that have just developing quite interesting styles or ways in which about things?
I think one of the things about going local is that all around on the church scene these days, you find interesting, what you might call themed congregations that have got their own special feature.
The church scene.
And that attracts people, and they have all sorts of different shapes and sizes.
Mm.
And I think the Christian scene is becoming much more varied than it once was, and therefore more interesting.
Yeah. Sure. Right. I'm just curious to learn, because I know that obviously with the Life Church it's kind of the big rock band and fun on a Friday night, but there must be some more bizarre.
Rock
is the devil, John.
So we should pick up some of those interesting.
Yeah, I would be curious to learn if there's anything that stands out to you, as well as Big Hungry's idea of going online. But
what?
Right. All right. Well, let's do a little bit of the spot checking and come up with some answers.
Okay,
right,
thank you very much, Peter. Hey, fantastic to talk to you once again. We'll look forward to speaking with you next week.
Excellent. Okay. Very good. See ya. Bye.